A lot of truth to that. Say amen, huh?
Amen.
That's right. Nursery time. All right.
You might have coffee to get me through it, so.
Yeah. Kendra's got caffeine, so nursery time, nursery time. Anybody going?
I think they're all already at it.
Waiting for her? Yeah. All right. Folks, you're going to hear me say this a lot because it's a proven fact. This time of year, it's not a joyous time of year for everyone. Do you even really understand that?
Amen.
There is a lot of people that really look at Christmas as one of the saddest times of the year. Either because they're not employed, or they don't have the money to buy the gifts, or maybe they don't even know Jesus and don't even really know what Christmas is about. You got families that are not speaking to each other. You got things that are going on, and this time of year forces all those feelings. Because if you're not speaking to each other, but yet you know you're supposed to get together for Christmas, that makes for a pretty awful time, don't it? Is that reality? Say amen.
Amen.
But we have to understand something. We have lost sight. And I say we, I mean the world, has lost sight of really what Christmas is all about.
Amen.
Christmas is not about the gift that comes from Sears or Macy's or Walmart or Kmart. It's about the gift that was given on Calvary's cross. And if somehow or another we can figure that out, we will put Christ back into Christmas.
Amen.
And we can say Merry Christmas and mean it and know the meaning behind that. When I say Merry Christmas, it means I'm merry because I'm happy because I've got Christ. And I don't care. Send me all the emails you want to send me. I can plead just as well as anybody else. I'm going to say Merry Christmas. Because I'm happy that I've got Christ. And I think it's a good way. So that's how we're going to approach it. But today's subject may not touch everybody here. May not touch everybody watching. But it touches someone. And the subject today is called hopelessness. You got your books, you can turn to that. But I want you to really follow and listen to me. To those who feel like they've lost hope, you listen very closely. If you're watching me via internet, you listen very closely. This should not be a time of hopelessness. But as we look at it, you come to understand. Try to figure out real truth. What Christmas is all about. Are you ready to take the journey with me? Say amen.
Amen.
We read the introduction every week. Thoughts are things, powerful things. Our thoughts have the power to lift us up or hold us back. Now, I read this every week, but it's the truth. Our prevailing attitudes have the power to create happiness or dissatisfaction. Joy or pain, peace or stress, success or failure. Your choice. Understand how many people have lost hope. Are you ready to listen? Say amen.
Amen.
On the darkest days of our life, we may be confronted with an illusion that seems very real indeed, the illusion of hopelessness. Try though we might, we simply can't envision a solution to our problem. There are so many people that think there is no help. There's no solution. That the way it is the way it's all. Satan is the author of hopelessness. Everybody understand that? Say amen.
Amen.
That's right. During these times, we may question God, His love, His presence, even His very existence. Despite God's promises, despite Christ's love, despite our many blessings, we may envision little or no hope for the future. These dark days are dangerous times for us and for our loved ones. Let me tell you something, folks. When you get a mindset and you get an attitude of hopelessness, it is dangerous. Do you understand how dangerous it is? It's dangerous. This is when people take their lives. This is when people take other people's lives. Do you understand that? Hi, sweetheart. How are you? You pretty baby, aren't you? Oh, do you like the preacher?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, you like the preacher?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. You be good, Chris. Hey, this is the future. You understand that?
Amen.
I love kids. Ain't nobody going to outscream the preacher. I can tell you that right now. Huh? Say amen. Yeah. All right, here we go. You ready to take the journey? Say amen.
Amen.
Consider a simple threefold prescription that serves an antidote to despair. You know what a prescription is? Renee, you know what a prescription is?
Yep.
Yes. A prescription is when a doctor says, here's what's wrong with you. You got it. And here's what they say to me. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. 8, 10, 12 things wrong with me. So they're going to give you a pill for this, and a pill for that, and a pill for this. And the more pills we get, Renee loves it, and we get more of this, and a pill for that, and a pill for that. Now what they got to do is they got a little piece of paper, and they write. Now you can't read it. Huh? Can you read it?
No.
Renee Kendrick can't read it either. I can tell you that right now. I look at them drugs that they give me, and I said, how in the world did they get that off of this life? It's just a lie. Just a lie. But it's a prescription to help you. Okay? It's medicine. Well, you know, God has a prescription pad too. He's got a prescription. You know what it is? It's called Jesus. You know what it is? It's called Jesus. That is the cure for whatever ails you. It's called Jesus. Say Merry Christmas with me. Merry Christmas. Give the Lord a hand of applause in your name. The prescription contains three simple elements. Perspective. That's a big word. Trust and action. Let's look at this big word called perspective. When old man trouble knocks on the door, and it's not if, it's when. Trouble is going to knock at your door. Nobody here got a perfect life, do they?
Yeah.
That's right. When old man trouble knocks on the door, it's easy to lose perspective. Easy to assume that all is lost. Easy, but wrong. Easy, but wrong. When God, with God by your side, and Jesus in your heart, all is never lost. Huh? What do you think? You with me? Alright? But no earthly problem, no matter how big, it's so big that God can't handle it. And that deserves an applause. If a temporary loss of perspective has left you worried, exhausted, or both, the more worried I get, the harder I get. The more worried I get, that's a good word, I like that word. The tireder I get, I don't know if I did it, but I did.
Tired.
Thank you. More tired. I love it when my wife correct me or my daughter correct me. Well, whose side are you taking?
Everybody's on the one side.
Seemed impossible. What was true for Christ's disciples is also true for you. When you place your faith, your trust, indeed your life, into the hands of God, you'll be amazed at the marvelous things He can do with you and through you. I have been able to reach more people and have more meaningful conversations with people because of the sufferings that I've had in my own life. I don't know why I have to go through what I have to go through. I don't know why I have to deal with what I have to deal with. And I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that's just sort of the facts of life. I don't know why you've got to do. I don't know why some of you are on walkers. I don't know why some of you have had to go through what you've had to go through. I don't know why. But here's the deal. The more that I go through, and the more ability that I've got to stand, speaks miles to people and lets them know that no matter what I go through, Satan is not going to defeat me.
Amen.
And believe me, he tries. He tries. I mean, it was a horrible afternoon for me yesterday. Satan got a hold of me. From 12:30 to 2:30, Satan got a hold of me. But let me say this. The sun came up today. I got my health. I got to look at things in perspective. You understand that? I got to look at things in perspective. People who live and die by sports teams, we need to look in perspective. It's just a ball game. There ain't nothing to this. It's just a ball game. Next year, they're all going to be richer than all of us put together. It's just a ball game. Can anybody hear me? Can anybody hear me? We're all in the men's classroom there. And we're, you know, we got to talk sports for a little bit. Jim, a lot of times, he's not feeling the best today, so he's, you know, he wasn't as talkative today, but we're all in there talking about basketball and how Louisville was lucky to win and Kentucky lost at home. And finally, Jim just spoke up in a very kind voice. And he said, guys, I feel sorry for you. But he said, you know, Alabama hadn't lost in football in about 15 years. So I just want to let all y'all know, so let's change the subject. Because they're from Alabama. So he said, it's according to what part of the world you're from or what matters. You understand that? But folks, I took just a time off to have a little fun. But let me tell you something, folks. That's what's going on in the world today. Ain't nobody having fun anymore. Have you ever noticed that? Ain't nobody laughing anymore. Ain't nobody enjoying life anymore. Listen, get a hold of yourself. One of these days, we're going to be spending eternity with Jesus. I don't care whether you're rich or poor, when you go in that casket, you ain't not going in there with Jesus. And you better hope and pray that Jesus is what's in that casket with you. Because you ain't going to be there. So, let's put perspective on hopelessness. If you have Jesus, you have hope. You understand that? You have hope. I don't care what's in your bank account. I don't care what you drive. I don't care how big your house is. I don't care if you got a roof over your head or you don't. If you've got Jesus, you've got hope. Amen. You're the one to have a lot of hope. All right. Let me close this out. I love this writer. The last footnote on this is called action. Action. The willingness to take action, even if the outcome of that action is uncertain, is another way to combat hopelessness. When you decide to roll up your sleeves and begin solving your own problems, you feel empowered, and you may see the first real glimmer of hope. Now that speaks to everybody in this room, anybody watching me. If you're waiting for someone else to solve your problems, or if you're waiting for God to patch things up by himself, you may become impatient,
amen,
despondent, or both. Now, understand something. Jesus is the best friend you've got. I'm just telling you. It's not your spouse. It's not your parents. Not your children. Not your boss. Not even your preacher. The best friend you got on this planet is Jesus. I understand that. But here's the deal. Jesus is not going to force himself on you. You've got something that you've got to do too. You understand that? Jesus can reach down to you all day long. I can stick my hand out to Chris. But if he don't stick it out, we're not going to shake hands. Make sense? Okay? Jesus is reaching out to you, but it's up to you to reach for him. And if you're hopeless, or you feel like you're hopeless, or you feel like everything in your world's going wrong, reach out to him. But listen to this. When he grabs a hold of you, he's going to pat you on the back. He's going to tell you everything's going to be okay, but he's also going to talk to you. And when he does, you best listen. And if you'll listen, you'll pull yourself up. You'll get back on track. Don't mean you were going to be perfect again. Quit thinking about that. There's no such world until we get to heaven. But what you will have is the strength and ability to get up every day, do what you're called to do, do what you're supposed to do. Now, you're not superhuman, and nor are you Jesus. You're not perfect. You're going to make mistakes. But here's the deal. The closer you get to Jesus by coming to his house, praying to him, studying his word, I promise you, you will have a life that others will look at and respect. Now, I don't want people to envy my life. Believe me, I don't want that at all. Not at all. But I do want people to see Jesus in me. That's what I want. I certainly don't have a perfect life, nor do you have a perfect preacher, but a long shot of the imagination. But what you do have is a preacher that's saved by grace, believes in grace, believes in forgiveness, and believes in the love and the grace of God. That's what I want. That's what I want to preach. Let's look at some scriptures as we close it out, Larry. 2 Corinthians, Paul says, chapter 4, verse 16, wherefore we faint not, but through our outward man decaying, yet your inward man is renewed day by day. I may look old, I may feel old, but one day I'm going to live forever.
Amen.
Because it's what's inside me that's going to go forever. Not the outward appearance. It's going to be gone one day. But it's what's inside me that matters. Understand that? And the older I get, the more I understand that. Alright? Alright, Larry. Last verse. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us, that's the church, let us hold fast the confession of our hope, that it waver not. For he is faithful and promised. You know the example that I give all the time? When we reach out to Jesus, he grabs a hold. We grab a hold. We're a team. Every once in a while, we get the wrong attitude. We get a wrong way of thinking. Satan gets in our hearts. We pull away from God. And we do that. But he never pulls away from us.
Amen.
Hold on. Grab back hold. Look to God. Look to his church. Look to his word. Talk to him every day and understand what he's promised. What he's promised, he will do. You may not have everything in life that you want. You may not get everything for Christmas that you want. But I promise you, if you know Jesus Christ, Everything that you need, you'll have. That's His promise. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Father, in the precious and holy name of Jesus, Your amazing grace is in this place. Your Spirit is in this place. Father, to those listening by internet today, if there is a worry that they have, if they feel hopelessness, if they're experiencing no hope, may they turn to You, Jesus. And all you have to do is just say, Jesus, come into my life, come into my heart. Confess that you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus died for you. Believe that Jesus arose from that grave for you. And believe that He's coming back for you. And I promise you, your outlook in life will change. If you're here today and you're a child of God and Satan's coming at you with everything, he's not going to win unless you let him. Don't let him win. Every day, have your time with Jesus. Jesus knows what you're going through. He knows what you need. Maybe you need a quiet time at this altar. Maybe you need a time for me to pray for you. But I promise you, Jesus loves you. But most of all, don't leave here without knowing Jesus. If you listen to me by internet, don't let another day go by without accepting Jesus. Because I promise you, the trumpet is in the hands of Jesus. And He's coming. Father, bless these ones. In Jesus' name. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, would you come? In the name of